The Gemara Masechta Becharis Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis brings up the subject of Mekach Taz, that if someone made a deal under false pretenses, the deal is null and void because it's called a Mekach Taz. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein in his Sefer Chashukei Chemet discusses a number of interesting questions around the subject of Mekach Taz. One question that he raises is Reuven is walking along the beach and he sees a child who's never drowning, and there are a number of people there watching this happen, but the child is drowning because there's a whirlpool, it's dangerous, and nobody wants to jump in to try to save that child. So Reuven quickly makes an announcement that whoever jumps in to save this child, I will give him a tremendous amount of money, $10,000 as a reward. Shimon is walking by. He hears this announcement and he jumps in. And to his surprise, the child that he actually saves is his own. So now the shaila is Reuven obligated to pay that $10,000 as he promised? Or can we say that if Shimon would know it was his child, he would need no incentive to jump in, and therefore he could say, I don't have to pay you the money? The Rama in a tshuva he quotes in Choshe Mishpat, Simon Pei Aleph, somebody said to someone else, learn with your son, and I will pay you. So he says that he doesn't have to pay because he's obligated to learn with his son anyway. So here too, perhaps, the father is obligated to save his son, and therefore he has no right to collect that reward. The Ktzois is in explaining that psak in the Rama, says that the Rama doesn't mean to say that under all circumstances he doesn't have to pay him. It's only if when he made this condition, he said, if you'll learn with your son, I'll pay you, he didn't really mean it earnestly. But if he didn't say, have that in mind, even the Rama would agree he has to pay. The Nesivus disagrees. And the Nesivus says, since the father is obligated to learn with his child, and therefore, no matter what the person who requested it meant, he has to pay. So it seems, in our case, where Reuven, who made this announcement, didn't certainly have any other ulterior motives, according to the Ktzais, Reuven would have to pay, even though the father is obligated to save his son. According to the Nesivus, since he's mechuyev to save his son, it doesn't make a difference what Reuven knew, what Reuven thought, he doesn't have to pay. But then the Chashukei Chemed makes a different point. He says there, not every father wants to learn, unfortunately, with a son. But every father is going to save his son. So maybe it's not comparable. On the other hand, that could maybe be the big difference. By learning, not every father is prepared to learn with a son. And therefore, the Ktzais is saying, if the only way I could get a father to learn with a son is by promising money, and I meant it seriously, I'm going to have to pay. When it comes to saving a son, a father is certainly going to save a son, but on the other hand, here the father didn't know it was his son. And since he didn't know it's his son, so he jumped in, assuming it wasn't his son, and Reuven also didn't think it was Shimon's son. And moreover, who says that a father is obligated to put himself into Sakonis Nefoshes to save his son. And therefore, the Chashukei Chemet says, Reuven cannot claim Mekach Tos. Reuven cannot claim Mekach Tos. And he has to pay the reward that he promised. Now, there's a separate entire. Now Reuven can go back and tell Shimon that you owe me money for me having saved your son. That's a new dentira. And there will be a difference if the son is a godel or a cotton. If the son is a cotton, maybe the father is obligated to pay for his son being saved. If the son is already a godel, he doesn't have to pay. Another point he makes in the subject of Mekach Tos, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita, is in our Masechta Becharis. We know that a Bechar, even if Bizman Hazeh, if somebody has a Bechar Bizman Hazeh, so you have to wait. If you didn't sell it to an Akum, so he has to do Shas Bechar, you can't bring him as a carbon. There are no carbon on his Bizman Hazeh, but rather, you have to wait until it becomes a Balmum, and even after it becomes a Balmum, you have to treat it with a certain level of Kedusha. So he says, what happens if somebody sold a pregnant cow to another Jew, and then he realizes that Jew is not religious and will not treat the Bechayer with the required halacha that the Torah requires how a Bechor should be treated? Can he claim Mekach Tos? So he says, since at this moment he sold the Bechor, he sold the cow, he sold it, and there is no issue at all, then the halacha is that he cannot claim Mekach Tos. Another interesting shaila he discusses. There was an individual, again Reuven, who had to go through a very difficult operation in Israel, and there wasn't really a doctor in Israel who he was comfortable in performing the operation. So he asked a doctor to come do that operation, and of course he would pay his fee and pay his expenses. The doctor came, performed the operation. Baruch Hashem, it was successful. And he wants also his expenses for his flight, etc. Reuven refuses to pay the expenses by saying that I know that during this time that you were here in Israel, you also performed a operation on your father who was sick. And therefore, you certainly would have come anyway here to Israel to perform that operation. And therefore, I don't owe you money for that those expenses. So what's the halacha? So he says, a very interesting question comes up, where Reuven came into the store of Shimon and got into some sort of a dispute with Shimon. And in his great anger, it was a store where they sold alcoholic beverages, and in his great anger, he broke many of the bottles of the alcohol, the liquor. Right after that happened, there was a government inspection, and those bottles of alcohol were actually there illegally. So now, because they were broken, he wasn't caught doing anything wrong. Now, the person who owned that liquor wants to get paid back for the hezek. The mazik says, I didn't do any damage for you. I actually did you a big favor. So the question here is he obligated or not? The Makar Chaim says that he doesn't have to pay. Since retroactively it turns out that he actually did him a favor, he's not called a mazik. Others disagree and say that since at the moment he broke the liquor, he was a mazik. What happens later doesn't make a difference. Says Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, that is not our question. Because there is a question, is this individual considered a mazik or not? Here, when he went on the plane, the doctor went on the plane, and Reuven had said, I'll pay you expenses, he's obligated to pay those expenses. The fact that different circumstances came up afterwards, that he would have come anyway, doesn't change that obligation. He discusses one other interesting shaila. Very interesting question. He says there was a person that came to a shul. He got an aliyah. He made a mishaberech. And he promised a certain amount of money. After Shabbos, the gabbai goes over to this individual and says, okay, you promised money to shul. Please pay. So the person says, yes, I think I promised $200. The gabbai says, no, I think it was more. So the gabbai says, you know how we can find out how much you really promised? He says, I've had such a situation previously, and therefore what I do is before Shabbos, I set up a tape recorder by the bima, and I make sure that I say the amount that was promised loud enough that we should get an accurate knowledge of how much you really paid, you really donated. The individual who got the aliyah is very upset. He says, if I would have known that this is the way the shul works, that I will do an aveira, speaking to a tape recorder on Shabbos, I would never have agreed. I would never given the dover to the shul. So Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita says he discussed this question with his brother-in-law, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, twice. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky's approach was as follows. If it wasn't just the gabbai who was involved in this terrible situation, but rather the individuals in the shul were also aware of what is done, then the person who got the aliyah could claim mekechtos. If, on the other hand, it was the gabbai who acted on his own in doing this, but it wasn't that anybody in the shul had knowledge or participated, so the shul doesn't have to take a loss because they have a gabbai who acts inappropriately and he has to pay the money that he promised to donate.